Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the BPCL Q3 FY17 post-results conference call hosted by SBI Cap Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dayanand Mittal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today we have with us the following dignitaries from BPCL management team. We have with us Mr. P. Balasubramanian, the Director of Finance, Mr. R. Rajamani, the ED Corporate Treasury. We have Ms. Teresa Naidu, DGM Pricing and Retirement Benefits, and Mr. Ganesan Jayapal, Deputy Manager Pricing and Insurance. With this, I would like to hand over the call to BPCL management team for their opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Dayanand. Good afternoon, one and all. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements that we would make during this con call may be forward-looking in nature, and we believe that expectations contained in such statements are reasonable. However, their nature involves a number of risks and uncertainties that may lead to different results. These forward-looking statements represent only the current expectations and beliefs, and we do not provide any assurance that such expectations will prove correct. Moving on to our financial results highlights, we are happy to announce our Q3 FY17 financial results with a profit after tax of rupees 2,272 crores as compared to rupees 1,545 crores for the same quarter previous year. Gross under-recoveries on the sale of SKOPDS during the quarter were at rupees 240 crores, taking the cumulative figure for the nine-month period to rupees 886 crores. Net under-recoveries after accounting subsidy have been nil. Adventitious gain on inventory amounted to rupees 665 crores as compared to loss of rupees 842 crores for the same quarter last year. With respect to physical performance of BPCL, our refineries throughput for this quarter stood at 6.78 million tons, which is about 16% higher as compared to corresponding quarter previous year. Throughput for the nine-month period stood at 19.37 million tons, which is about 8% higher as compared to corresponding period last year. Our weighted average GRM for both the refineries for this quarter stood at $5.9 per barrel as compared to $7.67 per barrel for the same quarter last year. Nine-month GRM is at $5.03 per barrel as against $6.69 per barrel for corresponding period last year. On the market front, we grew our domestic sales volume by around 5% from 9.3 million tons in October to December of 2015 to 9.76 million tons this quarter. Year-to-date sales volumes have increased by about 6% to 28.42 million tons. The growth was mainly led by petrol around 9%, ATF 23%, LPG 12%, and RLNG around 62%. We are now open for question and answer round. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are also requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may press star and one. We have the first question from the line of Dhaval Joshi of Emkay Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So just wanted to know that because of the demonetizations, we have seen marketing sales volume has improved significantly because of the acceptance of old notes. So what will be the market share in Q3 of mainly petrol and diesel? And in Q4 currently, now situation is almost normalized. So have you seen any change in the offtake because now the private player also have started their fuels?
Dhaval, can you just repeat the question? I didn't get you.
Sir, because of the demonetizations, we have seen market sales, market volume has grown significantly because of the acceptance of old notes.
Yes.
So just wanted to know what is our market share in Q3, especially in petrol and diesel, and retail share, basically. And now situation is normalized. So is there any change in that?
So you are right. The post-demonetization for the month of November, the PSU oil companies were allowed to continue accepting the high-value notes which were demonetized. So there was a spike in sales, and now after that in December and all, it's back to normal. So at this point in time, as of December, the market, if you had to look at the market participation, so the PSUs, in the case of petrol, it's about 95%, and in the case of diesel, the PSU share is slightly lower than 95%. So the balance is the private.
Okay. And sir, last question, I mean, just wanted to know, what is the status of MDR, adjustment in MDR issue basically, and is there any communication from the government regarding the loss of 0.75% discount which you are currently wearing?
So currently we are bearing that 0.75%.
Yeah.
We will see as we go along, because what happened was post demonetization, there was a slight increase in the digital mode of payment, because earlier also, including our royalty sales and all, the digital volume was somewhere around 10 to 15%. It has gone up, but it has sort of stabilized at around 25-27%. So as of now, that 0.75% is being borne by us. So we will see as we go along finally what would be the quantum, and then take a view on that maybe a couple of months down the line.
Okay. Sir, what is the exact loss in terms of quantum, if you can quantify of this from your end, of BPCL basically?
Sorry, loss of what?
0.75% discount.
As I said, that will depend upon the volume that will be. But as of December, it was somewhere around 18-19 crores up to December.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Prabal Sen of IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. This is Amit from IDFC. Sir, I have two questions. Regarding MDR, I think what Dhaval has asked also, that how much is the impact of MDR on our numbers?
So that's what I said, Amit, just now up to December.
No, MDR is different, sir. 0.75% discount is a digital payment discount.
Yeah.
And MDR is which we are bearing right now because of the digital sales.
So you are talking about that MDR which is,
levied by the banks for credit card transactions.
Not, it's only for the debit card transactions. So yeah. That is something which is being, it's not applicable on credit card, it's only on the debit card volume.
Mm-hmm.
That is something which is being worked out in terms of how the whole process will be. So as of now, I don't have that exact number, because that started somewhere from the middle of January. So I'll need to check that. But to clarify, it's only on the debit card volume, not on the entire debit card and credit card volume.
Okay. And sir, what is the status update on Kochi refinery? And have we able to capitalize Kochi refinery and commercialize it in the current quarter?
So as far as the Kochi refinery is concerned, the commissioning of the units is going on. The most recent unit that just got commissioned and is now operating is the DHD, that is the diesel hydrotreater unit, has got commissioned. This is subsequent to the CDU and VDU having been commissioned in quarter. Going forward in this month and next month, there are a couple of other units coming in. What will be left is only the Petro FCCU, which is expected to be commissioned in early April or May, around that time. So that will be the only unit that will be left. But by March, all other units will get commissioned.
Like DC delayed coker and everything will get...
Delayed coker should be coming in by March.
Okay, so and when we are expecting the full ramp up of these units, and are we taking that throughput from the new CDU into our numbers, and probably that's the reason for lower GRMs?
Yeah, as I said, the new CDU is already commissioned in the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
The throughput includes from the new unit also. As far as the full ramp up, once the FCCU comes on stream, as I said, early April or May, and gets stabilized, then we should be seeing the full production. But as of now, we are factoring in around 80% additional capacity in the next financial year.
Okay. And the last 9 months profit from Bina and Numaligarh.
I'll give you
9 months, or you can give us 3K.
Yeah. 1 second. Just as far as BORL Bina is concerned, You want the 9 month number, right?
9 months and the 3Q as well. Yeah.
Okay. As far as 9 month is, I mean the 9 month GRM is concerned, it works out to around $11.6 per barrel.
Mm-hmm.
October, December is well close to that, $11.9 per barrel. You also want for
PAT as well, sir, profit as well.
PAT is for the quarter is 157 crores.
Mm-hmm.
Number is 565 crores.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is Bina.
Hmm. Yeah.
Anything else?
Sir, Numaligarh.
Numaligarh. Okay. Numaligarh will be as far as the GRM is concerned, without the excise duty, will be about $8 for the April-December period, $7.1 for the 3 month period, and the profit after tax will be 1500 crores for the 9 month period and 635 crores for the third quarter.
Sure, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Pinakin Parekh of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you very much. Sir, first, to go back on, there have been various news flow on the various MDR, bank charges. You mentioned in your comments that the impact was 18-19 crores till December. So, sir, assuming that the oil marketing companies have to bear this through the course of the year, does it mean that there will be an annualized impact of 250 crores on the marketing side of the business? Just trying to understand, sir, how should we look at it? Because the government, the charges that the government is asking OMCs to pass through and the impact on the P&L.
It's early days, and whatever the decisions have been taken is ad hoc for March, and we have to wait and watch how the things pan out both at our levels as well as at the bank's level. And also we are having constant dialogues with the government among the OMCs. So you may have to wait for the next couple of months for taking the final call on this.
Understood, sir. And sir, on Kochi, given that there was an impact on the refining margins, sir, can be quantified what would have been the GRM impact in this quarter from the Kochi commissioning or ramp up? I mean, which should normalize as we move forward.
We cannot exactly see how the GRMs work on the commissioning part of it. What I can say is that we are taking a higher quantum of low sulfur crude and light crudes as compared to the earlier quarter. So the roughly about a dollar plus is the impact on the GRMs because of the stabilization and commissioning.
$1, which we saw in the December quarter and which likely should be there in the March quarter as well.
Yes, yes.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Arya Sen of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, sir. Firstly, if you could give the GRMs for Kochi and Mumbai in this quarter.
Yeah. 6.1 Kochi. For the quarter, Arya, for Kochi it is 6.1 and Mumbai is
5.75. 0.75. And you talked about Kochi 80% additional capacity in the next fiscal year. So basically you're saying that whatever the, on that 6 million ton of capacity addition that you will have, there will be 80% utilization in FY18. Is that understanding correct?
That's right. That's right. Because as I said, the FCCU will get commissioned sometime in the first quarter of the next financial year. Once that stabilizes, then we should be having utilization. So we have factored about 80% utilization of this incremental 6 million capacity.
Right, right. And thirdly, sir, what has been the diesel volume growth in January? Is it possible to share that number?
I don't have that, Arya, readily here, but I think it should be coming in the next couple of days, but I don't have it at the moment with me. I have all the December numbers. So January, we'll have to probably share it with you separately.
Right. And sir, other than, you talked about a $1 hit on GRM in Kochi because of stabilization, etc. But in the, below the GRM line, in the other expenses as well, has there been any sort of additional costs during the quarter because of Kochi?
Not because of Kochi. I don't know. There is nothing, any operating level cost incremental on account of Kochi commissioning. But if you're talking about any other expenses, there are some increase in other expenses, particularly transportation, which gets any case recovered through the delivery charges. So if you are asked, if your question is limited to any additional operating costs on account of Kochi stabilization, no, there is nothing like that.
Okay, but if I, so let me qualify that. Is there any sort of one-off in the other expenses in this quarter?
That's what I said. There is increase in some cost, particularly some transportation cost, but that is basically because of increase in the delivery charges, which gets, in any case, is a pass-through, we recover it in the price. So while it will be there in the cost, it will also be there in the revenue.
Okay. There's nothing other than that, right? Because, I mean, overall, your EBITDA seems to have been, especially if I back out the refining contribution, EBITDA seems to have been a bit weaker. So I was just wondering if there's any one-off which has caused that. Hello?
Yeah, there is no one-off.
No one-off. Okay, thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nitin Tiwari of Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. My question is related to the growth in sales that we had for the 9 months. So if I look at the key retail products, which is petrol and diesel, and also the overall product sales, so all have been somewhat lower than the market sales growth, which we have seen in the 9 month period. For example, on an average, diesel has grown at about 6% on industry level, whereas we have grown at about 1 odd %. So my question was related to, like, you know, how do we see this panning out in the future, and why are we, like, you know, growing somewhat slower than the market? If you could, like, throw some light on that.
Okay. Yeah, there has been, if you see the growth, as I said in the beginning, the market share of the private players has increased. So there is now, especially in diesel, it's about 5.5%. So there is the growth on a lower base for the private players. That is impacting the growth as far as the PSUs are concerned. So relative to the private, the growth in the PSUs is slightly on the lower side. In fact, PSU growth should be somewhere around 2% up to April to December, as against a higher number in the case of private. So that is something which is to be expected, given that the competition has increased, private players are coming back. So I think broadly, in terms of the PSU private, yeah, there is a difference in the growth rate.
So, sir, what I wanted to understand is that, is it going to stabilize at these levels, and probably going forward our growth would be stronger, because, like, you know, there could be a ramp-up impact which could have panned out by now, or, like, you know, we are yet to see more of it coming in the coming quarters, wherein, like, you know, their ramp-up would be denting in our growth rates as such.
I wouldn't be the right person to talk about what the private will play out, but yes, we are ready for this competition in the market. So that is something to be expected. It's not something which came all of a sudden or anything like that. It has taken its time, but now it is coming. So there is an impact in the growth. Now, how the competition will, whether it is stabilized, whether it will get ramped up, it's not something which I can comment upon. That.
Okay, sir. Fair enough. Thanks. Thanks for taking my question.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vidyadhar Ginde of ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. My question was mainly on this. Reliance has been offering a rupees one discount on diesel since end December, which they confirm at their analyst meet. So what is the impact this would have if it continues? And basically trying to understand that what proportion of your volumes would get affected by a private player like Reliance offering this discount, because your network is far, far more widely dispersed compared to, so Reliance probably will, petrol pumps will affect only a proportion, small proportion of your overall volumes.
Yeah, the other, as you said, if there are discounts in play, there could be some impact in the relevant markets trading area and the vicinity. That could be some impact there. Obviously, if it is, I don't know, you are saying 1 rupee plus,
if that discount is there, there could be some impact around that. But given that the private players at this point in time, it's not as dispersed as the PSU outlets, we'll have to just wait and see whether that is limited to the vicinity or it is something which will play out elsewhere also.
But so I just wanted to get some idea. So would it affect roughly say 10, 12, 15% of your volumes, or some idea on what proportion of volumes this kind of discounts can impact?
It cannot be that as high as you are thinking.
So you are saying that it's not even going to be double digit, is it, in terms of volume?
Impact on us cannot be of that high degree.
I didn't get you.
No, the impact of that cannot be of that high degree that you are talking on.
No. I am trying to find out what. So I am asking you, would 10%? So they have around 1,000 petrol stations.
Yeah.
So let's assume that you have roughly similar petrol stations in, or maybe somewhat higher number in that. So I am trying to find out what proportion of your volumes may be impacted by these discounts. Will it be single digit or?
As things stand, it is in single digits, but we have to see that. But thing is that what it's all depending upon what level of discount that will pan out over a period and how we react and respond to such market strategies.
Okay. Two small questions. One, the other related to the digital discount thing and MDR. So just wanted to find out that what proportion of your sales volumes are on how much volumes are you offering digital discount? What proportion of your volume?
That's what I said with the other right at the beginning. The earlier our digital volumes or the volumes on which digital mode of payment was being was somewhere around 10%. That has since gone up post demonetization, but now it is hovering at around 25-28% levels.
Okay.
It had gone up, and then after the currency supply
monetization, yeah,
it has slightly come down. So we are at this point in time talking about 27-28% of the volumes on which the customer pays by way of a digital mode of payment.
And what about debit card sales volumes? What proportion?
So the debit, I don't have the exact number of debit card, but yeah, the debit card volumes, if you were to have a distribution over debit cards and credit cards, I think it is more of debit cards and less of, more of credit cards.
Okay.
Less of debit cards.
So it will be even a smaller proportion of this 25-28%.
It will be a smaller percentage of the...
So maybe about, yeah, whatever, much, much smaller than this 25-28.
Because
which is
you
will
also have to factor in the fact that the 28% that we speak about also includes the loyalty program volumes, where typically the funding is done by way of the bank transfers.
Mm-hmm.
It is again a digital mode, but not through a debit card,
mm-hmm,
a credit card.
Okay. Last one clarification on this. Numaligarh, we couldn't get the 9-month GRM. Can, if you could please.
Yeah. Numaligarh, the 9-month GRM is about $7.98 per barrel.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rakesh Kedia of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for this opportunity. You know, two questions. First, on the other operating costs, if I look on quarter-on-quarter basis, they seems to be high by 20%. You mentioned there's a transportation element there. Is this entire thing being driven by transportation, or is something else in the cost which is increased? Because it seems to be, you know, a little higher than what we have been seeing for last couple of quarters. And secondly, if you could, you know, just highlight your CapEx program for the next year, how you're looking at your CapEx, both on the ENP or your standalone business as well as on the petrochemical side.
As far as the other operating cost is concerned, the main was transportation. I'll need to see whether there is any. As far as I know, there are no other major elements which will contribute to that, but I can just check and get back to you. Transportation was the main increase, which, as I said, gets passed on by way of recovery of the delivery charges. As far as CapEx is concerned, the 9 months capex, I'll just give you the number, which the 9 months capex for the group obviously will include the Russian acquisition also, which was which transaction got completed. So up to December, include for the group it's about 12,000 crores, out of which about 6,000 is on the account of the Russian. The other projects are the balance. And going forward, we should be seeing the capex for the year
somewhere around that 12,500-13,000 crores without the Russian part, because the Russian transaction was something which happened during the year, which was we had not included in our estimates earlier. So that's where, as far as this year's capex estimates are concerned. But going forward in the year ahead, the capex should slightly taper down, given that the major capex has been incurred. So this year, as of now, we are estimating for 17-18 the capex to be close to around 8,000 crores, and in the following year probably it will just go up slightly and come down to about 10,000-10,500 crores, 18-19.
Okay, so one follow-up question on your marketing side. Is there something, you know, has played out on the industrial fuels or, you know, other other than the retail fuels, which has impacted the margin to some extent, either in terms of volumes or some pricing pressure what you have seen? You know, I'm just trying to get my head on, you know, how the margin seems to be lower than what we have been used to, you know, seeing for last couple of quarters. Is anything unusual on the marketing side in terms of trends, in terms of pricing pressure which you have seen?
Not that I can, yeah, volumes have been pretty good in some of the sectors. ATF has grown strongly, but if you are asking whether there are any margin pressures, not that we can at least recall anything like that. But given that the industrial business is something which is competitive and it is driven by how the actual competition plays out, there will be, you know, ups and downs as far as the margins are concerned on the industrial side.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Amit Shah of BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Just one thing. I think you mentioned on the capex front that you will, for 9 months, you have done 12,000 crores, 6,000 of it being because of the Russian acquisition. And for the full year 17, you will spend around 12,500 excluding the Russian acquisition, which basically puts you at around 6,500 for Q4. So is that almost all Kochi or?
Bulk of it will be the Kochi. This one, as the commissioning is on, the expenditure also is getting... including the JV. So bulk of it will be the Kochi, this one, as the commissioning is happening, the expenditure is getting booked. There could be some of the, you know, BPRL, the regular expenditure, there could be something. So it's an estimated 6,500 crores, maybe plus or minus, there could be some, by March we will know where we actually stand.
Okay, and just one more question. So once, say, I think you already answered this, but I might have missed it. The once Kochi stabilizes, say, for all of FY18, right, what would be the incremental GRM that you see as a result of the capacity addition?
So once the units are all commissioned and the stabilization happens, then we see a potential increase in the GRM from a base case to about $2 per barrel. For the entire volume, but that once all the units gets stabilized, so
okay. So for the entire 15 million tons,
yes,
the total,
yes,
GRM should be higher by $2, is what you estimate.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
And that's it. Actually, it's fine. I'll follow up later. Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Vishnu Kumar of Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for your time, sir. On the petrochemical plant, if you could just give the update.
So the petrochemical plant, yeah, now we should be, as on date, we have already spent about, you know, 400 crores on the project, and now the activity has picked up, and we should be seeing a lot of activity happening in the coming financial year, because the plant should be getting commissioned somewhere towards the end of 2018.
2018. Okay. The total capex for this plant, sir, how much is it?
4,600 crores.
4,600. Sir, are we getting any tax benefits for the Kochi expansion and this petrochemical plants?
We are getting some tax deferral by the state government authorities.
Okay. Just on the VAT, okay. Got it, sir. Sir, on the employee cost, is it possible to roughly split of the 3,000 crores between refining and marketing business? Is it possible to do some rough math?
Vishnu, I don't have it readily. We can see separately.
Okay.
I don't have that breakup here.
Okay, I'll get to you later, sir. Thanks. That's about it, sir. My other questions have been answered.
Our next question is from the line of Badrinath Srinivasan of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for taking my question. Not sure if you shared this yet, but could you help with how much of Kochi has been capitalized so far, and how much interest depreciation would that lead to in, let's say, the next quarter? And second question is, could you help with the split of capex on FY18 by segment, sir?
Okay. As far as the Kochi is concerned, if you are asking me financial numbers, I can tell you the CDU VDU has got commissioned, the diesel hydro treatment plant has got commissioned, and this month again the VGO hydro treatment is getting commissioned. The and next month is when the delayed coker will be commissioned. What it will leave behind is, as of March, is that the Petro FCCU, that will also be more or less mechanically commissioned, completed, but commissioning will happen in the next year. In terms of the actual, by the end of this 16-17, we should have seen close to around about 11-12,000 crores of capitalization having happened, and the balance 3,000 crores will get capitalized in the first quarter of next year.
Right, thank you, sir. And the split of FY18 capex by segment, if you have that, sir.
FY18, no?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, FY18, very broadly speaking, we should be having on the refinery side. See, I'm not, let me qualify it right at the beginning. The regular maintenance capex across segments, which will be somewhere around 3,000 crores, I'm not splitting because I don't have that. Other than that, among the major projects, refineries should see about 2,500 crores, about 700 or 750 crores will go in marketing, and the exploration and production should be about 1,500. Apart from that, there will be the regular maintenance capex, which I spoke about in the beginning. That should be about 3,000 crores. That I don't have a split between refining and marketing.
Right, sir. And the Kochi Petchem, there's no number in this for that?
So, that the refinery segment of 2,500 crores includes that.
Okay, sir.
Already 450 crores have been spent, and next year should see some more significant amount of expenditure on that project.
Right, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Aditya Gupta of Narnolia Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. Sir, what is your debt repayment guidance for FY17 and 18?
So debt repayment, next month we should be, we have a payment coming up of about $300 million. So that should get paid. And in the following year, there is another repayment of another around $200 or $250 million which are due for. These are all the scheduled repayment as per the debt outstanding that we are having as on date. So $300 million next month, March, and about $200 or $250 million in November or December, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, sir. And my second question is about margins. So in this quarter, last quarter, third quarter, so margin has declined on Y and Y. So is there any specific reason for decline?
No, you're talking which margin?
With GRM.
So year on year and quarter on quarter, last time the GRMs were very good, the crack spreads are very good. That has come off significantly in this year, and that is reflected in the lower GRMs Q on Q and Y on Y.
Yes, sir. Okay, sir. Is there any specific reason for decline?
That's what I said. The crack spreads have come down, no?
Okay, sir. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mayur Patel of TSP BlackRock. Please go ahead.
All my questions are answered. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Ahuja of Relega Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, can we have the operating cost per barrel for Bina and Kochi, Mumbai and Numaligarh?
Kochi, Mumbai is around all up to including depreciation should be around somewhere around $1.7-$1.8 per barrel. Bina should be slightly higher, maybe around $2 or something. Numaligarh, I don't have readily. I'll need to check that out.
So this you're saying including depreciation?
Yes.
Right. Okay. So secondly, you know, as you mentioned about this MDR, I know we've had a lot of discussion on that. So by March, you're saying it will be clear that who bears that charge, or is it as of now OMCs are going to bear it?
No, no. Director of Finance said that let's wait for the next couple of months to get some clarity in terms of how much it's going to be and what we will do. We are in discussions with the... and we want to see how much it is going to be, and then we will take a call maybe a couple of months down the line.
Right, sir. So secondly, on your diesel sales, how much would be to commercial transactions, like, you know, for trucks and all that, and how much of that portion has shifted to MDR, if you can throw some light on that?
Commercial trucks
and all the commercial vehicles.
Very difficult, because this is, we look at it, see, other than what is supplied to industries directly, whatever sales happens at the gas stations, we don't have separately in terms of how much is trucks and how much is other commercial vehicles and all that. That breakup we wouldn't have. This is a total retail sales that we are talking about.
So the total retail sales you're claiming is around 28% is through cashless.
The digital mode of payment, yeah.
And most of this digital mode of payment, most of it is through credit cards, about 82.
No. See, this 20% which we speak about,
yeah,
large part of the volume is through the loyalty program. So the loyalty program which was existing earlier also, it continues. So
yeah,
that loyalty program involves loading of the loyalty card.
Yeah.
By way of the bank transfers
right,
through RTGS, NEFT and all that.
Right.
So once that is done, then the drivers will use those cards to swipe and fill the vehicles. Now, that is definitely a digital mode of payment, but
right,
nothing to do with credit card, debit card. The balance, whatever individuals who are filling up at the gas stations will be using debit card, credit card or the wallets.
Right.
So we are talking about this 28% being a sum of all these customers and all these modes of payment.
So if we include those debit card, credit card transactions separately, would the overall number through all digital modes would be around 40% or 50%? If you can...
No, that's what I said. This 27-28% is a summation of all these put together.
Okay.
So this 0.75 that we are talking about is for this volume.
It's for this volume. So the MDR charge and...
See, for the MDR will be only in respect of where the customer decides to pay by way of a debit card.
Right. Okay, so that number may not be as... That could be half of what is 28% or something.
Could be less than now, because then there are credit card paying customers also. Typically you will find petrol sales and all that, the customer in the cities will be using a credit card more than a debit card.
Right. So lastly, on the petrochemical plant, by when is that expected to get commissioned, and how much is the capex cumulative for that?
So capex cumulative till date is around 450 crores. The out of the cost of 4,600 crores, and the commissioning is expected toward the end of the calendar year 2018.
So what are the, I think we are planning the acrylic plant.
Acrylates, acrylic acid and oxo alcohol. These are the three specialty chemicals which are planned to be produced.
And you also mentioned the GRM advantage of $2 per barrel.
Post the stabilization of the Kochi, all the units coming on stream and getting stabilized, then we should be seeing an upside of around $2 per barrel on the entire volume of 15.5 million.
So this advantage of $2 per barrel is purely because of the change in product slate, or also it is all around the VAT deferral?
It is because of the product slate, because the heavier ends will not be there, and we should be seeing a much higher yield, middle and light distillates.
So you say you won't be producing FO?
Yes, ultimately the heavier ends like furnace oil and all that will no longer be there in Kochi.
So distillate yields should move up to more than 90%.
Yeah, the heavier ends should no longer be there, so which obviously means it has to reflect in the middle and light distillates.
And so this would start from April. So I'm assuming the entire impact of this $2 would come in mostly by end of FY18 after the whole ramp up happens.
Actually, once the FCCU is already is on stream stabilized, then we should be seeing it in the later part of the year. So we'll just need to wait till then to see the impact of this $2.
Great. Thanks for this, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sabri Hazarika, Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir. Sir, I have two questions. The first one is, there are reports that one cargo of Gorgon LNG has already arrived in India. So, being the largest off-taker of that contract, so are you utilizing that that LNG in your Kochi refinery, or any idea on where it is being sold?
As far as I am not too sure whether any cargo has yet arrived at, but that we need to check. It was to come in the next couple of months. Whether it has actually arrived, we need to see.
Because there were some reports that in January the first cargo has arrived and the second is expected to arrive in March. So
there was some delay in the whole thing, so I need to check, because whether it has actually arrived, I'm not too sure.
Okay, so you are the off-taker, so would you be comfortable using it in Kochi, or would you be taking it to Dahej, anything of that sort?
No, there are...
We are the off-taker for 40% of the cargo.
Yeah, that's right, for 40%.
At Kochi, we will be definitely using it for our refinery.
Mm.
Apart from that, FACT is another customer there. So if FACT takes also, we will give it to FACT.
Okay, so that way there can be some unloading in Kochi terminal also for you, of this Gorgon volumes. Okay, sir. And
depends upon how we pan it out at that point in time, what is the stock level at Kochi. Otherwise, we have the option of taking it to the Dahej.
Okay, sir. And secondly, on this marketing margin, actually previously when you used to give the price build-up of petrol and diesel, the normative marketing margin used to be directly proportional to refinery transfer price and oil prices. That means whenever oil prices goes up, the marketing margin also used to expand. But after deregulation, that thing is no longer relevant, so it is based on market forces. But does a similar mechanism work for other products, like mainly the solid products also, or do they have a negative impact if oil prices goes up, considering the local demand supply scenario?
That will be purely driven by the demand supply scenario and alternate sources which are available. It's a pure competition play there.
So in case of bitumen and petcoke, this kind of products, the margins are not directly linked to oil prices. So they may expand even under high oil price scenario, or do they go down?
It's driven by the market conditions.
Okay, sir. And just one last small question. What is the pending receivables from government?
It'll be around about 1,200 crores or so. Basically, because now the subsidy as such is only in respect of the kerosene, and then there is a cycle by which the DVTL money keeps coming. So other than that, there are no major outstandings left.
Okay. And bonds at hand? That's the last thing. Currently,
bonds are still there. Oil bonds we still hold it.
Around 5,000 crore. It has
no change in that.
Okay, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Pinakin Parekh of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
So thank you very much. So just coming back to micro market pricing, in the September quarter call, you had mentioned that it's right now being rolled out at 3,000 outlets, and the additional margins was 15 paisa in diesel and 20 paisa in MS. So what's the status right now? Have you expanded to more outlets?
I wouldn't have the exact number at this point in time, but that's a program which continues by the retail business. That is the range that you speak about is more or less still the same. I would imagine that they would have looked at expanding into outlet. But having said that, there is one more important caveat, which is that that number doesn't remain fixed. It's something which they keep changing depending on what happens on the ground. So it's a sort of dynamic in terms of the number of outlets that is covered, but the range is somewhere around that additional margin of about 10 paisa in the case of diesel, and maybe 20-25 paisa in the case of petrol.
Understood. And so lastly, given the capex outlook that we have for next year and given where the Kochi expansion, should we assume a material debt increase from here to fund that capex? How should we look at the cash flows for next year?
This year we have not done any significant borrowings except the Russian acquisition, which was in any case, the borrowing was done by the upstream. There could be some amount of borrowings as we go along, but as I said, there are some repayments also coming up next month and also in the following year. So all in all, we should be seeing some increase in debt, but exact number we are still working out how much we could need to raise.
Understood, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Avdhoot Sabnis of CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Given the large impact of inventory, could you give us some indication at all on inventory impact on the reported GRMs, either in third quarter or for the first 9 months?
Avdhoot, can you come back? Can you repeat?
Yeah, I said, you know, it's apparent looking at the reported GRMs of other companies have reported. If you take MRPL or IOC, which have given specific disclosures on the inventory impact on their GRMs, is it possible for BPCL also to do the same, give the inventory impact on GRMs for third quarter, 9 months?
No, we cannot. We normally give the inventory gains on the marketing side only, not on the refining side. It's a part of the GRMs.
Okay, and so basically, the clarification that whatever inventory gain is total marketing, right? Not just products, whatever is the marketing segment.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vipul Shah of Sumangal Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. What is the consolidated debt as on date?
16,000 crores.
Sorry, would you repeat?
Consolidated debt.
Yeah. I'm not getting your...
BPCL is standalone is around 16,000.
BPRL is 14,000.
So BPRL should be around that 13,000-14,000 crores. So total.
Yeah, between BPCL and BPRL is roughly around 30,000 crores.
And VORL will have
5,000 crores.
About 9,000 crores in VORL.
50% consolidated level.
VORL total will be about 9,000, but 50% means about 4,000. So all in all, about 32,000 crores.
32,000. And sir, I missed your inventory gain. So would you repeat that figure for this quarter?
No, inventory gain, the inventory, whatever gain or loss in the refinery is reflected in the GRM. Apart from that, in marketing side, the inventory gain is for the quarter is 665 crore and for the April-December period is 1,585 crore.
Okay. And lastly, sir, once Kochi stabilizes fully, can you give any rough estimate of the slate there?
Basically, furnace oil and all that will no longer be there. There will be an increase in the production.
It's a petro FCCU. I think we can give the data separately.
Whom should I contact for that?
Ganesh, you speak. He will give you the number.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Deepak Sharma of AllianceBernstein. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Majority of my questions have been answered, so I just wanted to understand.
Sorry to interrupt. Mr. Sharma, could you speak a bit louder? Your volume is really low.
Okay. Now is it okay?
Yes, thank you.
I just wanted to understand, what will be the impact on the EBITDA margins for the crude price oil increase, and also what price do you look for crude oil to begin the subsidy sharing again among upstream and downstream companies?
The first part of the question, can you repeat?
I just wanted to understand what will be the impact on the margins with regards to the increase in the crude oil price from December. So for FY17, I just wanted to understand how much will be the impact of the EBITDA margins because of increase in the crude price. And second question was about the subsidy framework. So at what price of crude price oil do you think the subsidy sharing mechanism will begin significantly again?
Yeah.
See, first of all, the crude prices does not have direct impact on the margins because margins is based upon the crack spreads that are there. So we cannot have a direct correlation between that pro rata. We cannot have a issue on that because each of the product cracks move differently. As regards the subsidy is concerned, already DBTL is directly paid and then there is no subsidy on that. It's only a kerosene subsidy. We do not expect any sharing by the upstream or by the downstream oil companies at any point in time.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vineet Joshi of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is, in terms of your debt, how much of that is dollar denominated?
It's almost, say, about 90% plus is dollar denominated.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And, sir, in terms of your throughput this quarter, is there any way to quantify how much of that is coming from the new capacity in Kochi for this quarter?
No, that's what I said. The commissioning of the CDU has happened in the second quarter and it was getting stabilized. So it has contributed to the additional throughput, but very difficult to lay a number. I think you'll have to wait for one more quarter. Once it has operated, then we can straight away tell you this is the 100% capacity utilization.
Okay, thank you, sir. And in terms of maintenance, I mean, for over the course of next year, do you have any big maintenance plans for your refineries?
So one is the Mumbai refinery is going for a scheduled shutdown of some of the major units in end February and will be on shutdown during the month of March. So that is as far as Mumbai is concerned. In the case of Kochi, there will be a shutdown of the old crude processing unit during, I think, October or November, which is again a planned shutdown, that once in 4 year cycle. So that is something which is scheduled maintenance shutdown in the two refineries.
Okay. And sir, can you throw some color on your crude diet? I mean, which are the areas from where you are buying most of your crude or has it changed substantially versus the last couple of years?
No, more or less it's remained apart from the domestic Bombay High crude, the imported crude is predominantly sourced from Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, in the United Arab Emirates, Malaysia and also from Nigeria.
And with this Kochi commissioning, I mean, do you expect that to change significantly? I mean, you would be moving towards more heavier grades of crude because now it can process 100% heavier crude grades?
Yeah, we will see once the unit stabilizes, then we will look at, trying out with all the new crudes and whether we need to diversify the sources. That is something which we will see as we go along once the unit stabilizes.
And so one last question, sir. On LPG, the way demand has been growing here, I mean, do you see any bottleneck on the infrastructure side and does your marketing capex include some LPG terminals in the future?
Yes, the marketing, we are putting up a marketing, import terminal in Haldia on the eastern coast. That is something which the capex is already included in that. So that, looking at about 2 into 15,000 metric tons of storage tanks and for facilities for the tanker unloading in Haldia. So that's something which we are already working on. And also there is a LPG terminal project in Tamil Nadu for receiving the increased LPG production out of the Kochi expansion. So that is something which already the capex is included. Work is already started in those projects.
Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Gagan Dixit of Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Sir, it has been observed in the past that whenever this OPEC made the cut of their oil, so there is usually the increase in the premium for the Asian refiners for purchasing Middle East over the Atlantic refiners. So is it something the phenomena you observe in this quarter, at least in the month of January, or is there any expectation regarding this?
I think we have not seen anything. In any case, these are all term contracts, so the price is based on the official selling price of the respective national oil companies.
How much is the, sir, your this exposure to the Middle East crude among the import crude basket?
70% will be apart from Middle East. As I said, the bulk of the crude comes in from Nigeria, Malaysia, and all. So these are the lighter crudes which come in from those places. Otherwise, most of them, a major chunk of it comes out of the Middle East.
Okay, that's from my side. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vikas Jain of CLSA. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question, sir. On for FY18, since you did mention that once the refinery stabilizes, there's a $2 bump up that you see for all of the products. But for FY18, how should we be looking at it? Because there could be a period at the start when this might be a negative contributor to overall GRMs, and then maybe it will stabilize. So what kind of benefits should we be looking at in terms of FY18, I mean, overall as the ramp up progresses?
That's where we were saying that, you know, the first quarter should see the last units getting commissioned, and thereafter it will take some time to stabilize, which is why we are also saying that the throughput itself should not, from the new unit should be around 80%. So I think we'll have to wait till the first quarter, and once everything stabilized, then we should be having a clear visibility in terms of the increase in the margins that we are talking about, because by then the units would have stabilized and would have started operating smoothly.
So everything stabilizes by second quarter? Is that roughly what we should be expecting?
That's what we are looking at this point in time.
Okay, and also any sense if you could provide us on the GRMs of Bina and even Numaligarh, what is the inventory gains included over there? Even at least Bina?
It's part of the GRM.
Okay.
Separately.
Okay. And the other thing was on their upstream acquisitions, since they're complete now, I mean, so this will be consolidated when the full year reports, when the full year results are given. Is that right, the Russian ones?
Sorry, can you repeat?
Upstream acquisitions, they're complete, right? So it will be consolidated for this quarter, for example, the Russian acquisitions.
Correct.
Any sense if you could provide what this could lead to in terms of profitability, etc.? Since, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, there is very limited variability on crude prices. I mean, given that there are taxes the moment prices go higher. So any sense that you could, that what kind of EBITDA that we are looking at, and what, since the debt linked to this is about $1 billion, what kind of, EBIT or PBT numbers that we should be looking at coming from here?
See, as you know, that Russian investment is on the equity side. It's not an asset purchase.
Okay.
It will be basically the dividend declared. We are expecting almost around $100 million of income per year from the thing, subject to that everything is declared as a dividend. And then we roughly have around $40 million of capex in the next 3 years, especially on the TAF assets, which leaves roughly around $50 to $60 million on the thing, and per net of taxes, dividend taxes and corporate taxes at our overseas subsidiary level, I think we should be ending up with around $30 to $40 million in the next couple of years, and then once the TAF stabilizes, it will increase.
So $30 to $40 million, you think, is X of taxes and X of capex. So roughly about $80 million X of taxes, right?
No, because this what the director of finance said is about $100 million is the dividend which is expected. Out of that, there is a capex of around $40 million which will have to be provided.
Correct.
For because the next 2 years the TAF will require this additional capex so that the production is,
yes,
ramped up. So we are talking about net of that around 50-60 million, and after taxes and all,
and interest
there will be an interest cost also, because given that major part of the funding is by way of the bonds that were recently raised, so net of all that we should be seeing an additional about 30 million after taxes, interest and all, about $25-30 million every year for the next couple of years, and once TAF is fully on stream, then that amount should go up
by about 40 million. That's right. Okay, fine.
Thank you.
Ladies
and gentlemen, may we please request you to limit your questions to one per participant. Time permitting, you may come back in the queue for a follow-up question. We'll take our next question from the line of Bhavin Gandhi of B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Just can you guide us as to what will be the uplift in the OPEX cost post full stabilization of Kochi?
So, See, Kochi should see an additional, I mean, I'm only talking about the delta cost post this one of about $0.50 per barrel, given that there is going to be a coker which will be operating there. So we are seeing, just as we spoke about $2 increase in GRM, we are also talking about $0.50 increase in the OPEX cost per barrel.
This is on the entire 15, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and just one last thing, sir, on the LNG offtake in Kochi, what is it currently and post full utilization, where it will be?
Yeah, post commissioning of all the units, it will increase. Let me just see if I have the number readily, otherwise Bhavin, I can share it with you separately.
Sure.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Prabhul Sen of IDFC Securities. Please go ahead. Mr. Prabhul Sen, your line is unmuted for the question.
Yeah, sorry. I just had one question on the Mozambique capex or the Mozambique status in terms of progress, sir. Hello?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Mozambique status has got the government of Mozambique, the land and offshore has been already allotted, secured and allotted by the government of Mozambique. The FEED has been completed. Environmental impact assessment has been completed. And then we are in the process of finalizing the long-term sale purchase agreements of about 8 million metric tons of from premium buyers from Asia. And we are planning to establish our own branch office in Mozambique by July 2016. And the FID is likely to complete by end of the year or early first quarter of next year.
Sorry, so 1Q of calendar year 18.
And the current year, we are will be roughly having almost around 70, 80 millions of capex on the pre-project activities. And once the FID is complete, and then once we know the thing, then we will know exactly what is the capex requirements.
So the capex estimates, sir, for FY18 that was given,
yeah,
which had that ENP expenditure, that doesn't include any post-FID capex for Mozambique, I assume.
No, yeah, it doesn't include. It doesn't.
So as of now, 70-80 million is what we have incurred in FY17E,
yeah,
and not much as of now in the guidance for 18. Is that a correct way to look at it?
That's right.
And sir, no guidance yet on what kind of pricing we are looking for in the sales purchase agreements that we are signing.
Pricing under all confidential information, we cannot share it.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That is all from my side. Sorry for the disturbance.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vishnu Kumar with Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks again, sir. Just on the LPG uncompensated cost, what would be the annual hit on us and any respite we can expect from the government in the next couple of years?
Vishnu, I don't have that, but it's nothing which is different from year on year. It's almost on the same line. Change in that.
I mean,
I'll need to look at it separately and we can give you.
Okay. And finally, any update on the Ratnagiri plant, sir? What are the...
Sir?
Ratnagiri, the mega plant which we all three OMCs are considering.
It's still at the early stages and then identification of land is being taken by Maharashtra government. They have meanwhile, we are doing some sort of a pre-project feasibility among the consortium partners. So, it's early stage to nothing more to share beyond this at this point in time.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sumit Vora of Sushil Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Very good afternoon. So I have a couple of questions. One, sir, what's the impact on GRMs this quarter because of Kochi commissioning? Sir, secondly, can you please talk a little bit about, the market share trends of ours, and is there any impact, which we're basically seeing from private players, sir?
See, as regards Cochin commissioning, we cannot give separate thing because it's the whole unit getting commissioned synchronized with the existing unit. So we cannot see it, whatever the GRMs reported or including that absorbing whatever the costs that have been taken in place of commissioning. As regards private sector participation, today has roughly around 5% on MS and around 5.5% on diesel. So you can take it roughly around 5% of the market share, which is the private players as of December.
Okay, sir. Okay. And sir, if time permit, I can just ask you a couple of more things, sir. Can you just share your thoughts on the product, on the oil product demand, sir, on across the different categories? Where LPG is very strong. What are your thoughts on petrol diesel, sir?
Yeah, petrol is growing well, almost around double digit for the year, full year, though it's slightly come down around 9% in the current quarter. We expect the petrol growth to be around the same levels in the coming years also. As regards the diesel is still having a sluggish growth, and then we are hopeful that end of this quarter we'll be having a better growth in the diesel. But depending upon how the monsoon sets in next year and how the manufacturing picks up next year, the next year's diesel will be in. But we are expecting better diesel growth in the next year.
Sure. And sir, just one last thing if I may ask you. So, you know, there were a couple of press reports basically saying that merger between HPBP is being considered. Is that, is there something on that, sir?
We do not have any such information.
Other than the finance minister's announcement in the budget. Beyond that, we don't have anything.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you very much, sir, and wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Manish Kumar of HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. I have two small questions. First is related to the sales tax deferral at Kochi that you talked about. If you could quantify what can be that benefit on sustainable basis for whatever 10, 15 years. And second is related to the LNG volume growth. If I heard correctly, you talked about 60% growth in LNG sales volume. How much is the total LNG you are selling right now, and how much is captive and how much are you selling to outside customer? Thank you.
You are talking about the Manish, the sales tax deferral is somewhere around 250 crores per year or something like that for 15 years. So it's basically a cash flow adjustment. It's in terms of that money will be there with us as a interest-free loan, which we repay at the end of 15 years. So that's how that process will work. So that's the deferral which we spoke about as one of the incentives given by the state government for the expansion project. As far as LNG volumes are concerned, in terms of the April-December numbers, the LNG market volumes is about 750 TMT. So this obviously is the market sales, and it will not include the what is consumed at the two refineries.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. We'll take a last question from the line of Prayesh Jain of IIFL Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello, yeah, good afternoon, sir. Sir, your thoughts on what kind of retail outlet additions that we are going to do over the next possibly in FY18 and FY19 possibly, and also your thoughts on dynamic pricing at retail outlets?
Yeah, as you got retail outlets, roughly around 500 plus outlets we will be putting up every year on year basis.
Okay.
Depending upon, especially in the rural and the semi-urban segments, the new highways that are coming up, both state and national highways.
Okay.
As regards the dynamic pricing, pricing is always becoming dynamic. With the competition, it's becoming more dynamic. So depending upon how the competition places the pricing, we'll be having one set of dynamic pricing. Depending upon our normal micro market pricing, we'll be having another set of dynamic pricing, which will be totally localized
each market-wise. Okay.
So it's early stages of competition setting in, so we have to wait and see that how the different parts work. But of course, yes, as we told, we are already experimenting it at different levels.
Mm-hmm.
Whether these things will be pan out across India or it will be same or it will be different in different parts, how we will respond to the market competitive pricing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to see, depending upon how the competition emerges and what sort of strategies they adopt,
okay,
longer period of time.
Mm-hmm. Have this dynamic pricing been implemented by any of the players so far?
If we are doing it, I would imagine others are also doing it.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. I now hand the floor back to Mr. Dayanand Mittal for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to thank BPCL management to take time to update investors and analysts on the company and the sector performance. Also, I'd like to thank everyone for joining in the call. So that's it. Thank you for
Thanks, Dayanand. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of SBI Cap Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.